call order this September meeting of the Curry Beach Planning and Zoning Commission. Craig is not here, my name is Joseph Whitley, Vice Chairman, so I'll be taking over for the evening. First order is approval of the agenda.
Make a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Second, approval of minutes from the July meeting, we did not have an August meeting.
I'll make the motion to approve the July minutes.
I'll second that.
Anyone here to address, if you could please go to the podium and sign in with your name and address.
Excuse me, Vice Chair, I'm sorry to introduce myself on the first day.
I'll get ready to introduce you.
Well, what I wondered is, if you all normally do it, do you need a vote to excuse Chairman Colbert? Do you normally vote to excuse a member who's not present?
And this is our new attorney for the planning and zoning, James Eldridge.
Excuse me, I don't know if I'm supposed to sign in and address or not.
Yes, if you'd like to speak, yes, please.
I don't know if I'm supposed to.
Yes, I'm signing in.
Everybody sign in.
Can I just ask if there's anyone in the audience that's here to address the McKenzie Board concerning the parking at the Ocean Dunes area? Is anyone here for that matter?
He is.
Okay.
That's why I'm here.
Very well, sir.
Okay. Other areas?
I just want to address that. All right, we're going to vote on the approval of the agenda. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Approval of the minutes from July?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we'll go ahead and start out with public comments. Anyone would like to speak?
Sure. I didn't know I was speaking, but my issue regards Ocean Dunes and the parking along the street along Ocean Dunes. We have a problem. We need some help.
We have your name.
Sure. My name is Al Woodall, W-O-O-D-A-L-L. I live at 1501 Sandar Court, New Jersey. Our issue is along the area on the ocean side of the 421. We have mostly a weekend holiday issue that's become as much of a trespassing issue as anything else. But it all stems from the ability to park there. We have a lot of no parking signs on our property, and there are obviously public walkways, and people park and use the beach, which they have every right to do. Our issue is that this goes back, that every holiday is pretty much the same, that people abuse our property. We've had people urinating on the fence along the perimeter of the highway. We actually even had a female stripped out in our showers, and whereas we can make jokes about that, it doesn't help our property values. I went to the Department of Transportation to talk to them about it, and they sent two people out. The second person, who was the person really responsible for that type of thing, was very sympathetic and was willing to put up and enforce no parking signs. But the more he looked into it, the more he said, you need to go talk to Curie first. So I went to the town council a week or so ago and spoke to them. I guess we're not obviously trying to prevent anyone from using the public beach, but we're trying to prevent people from coming on our property. What happens is people ignore the signs for using public walkways. They use our walkways, which we pay for and replace and maintain. They use our showers. They end up pulling into our areas to unload and reload their property and their kids and everything else. And it's a problem for us. There are two no parking signs along the Highway right now. They are at Camp Wyatt Street and Craig Landing, those two streets. So it seems that the intent is not to park there, but either the signs are too far apart, because frankly, I didn't even see them. They're pretty far apart, and Ocean Dunes stands, I don't know, a mile or so, and there's two signs there, and perhaps people don't park right next to the sign, but they certainly park along that way. And it is a bike path, by the way, and that's what the signs say, bike path, no parking, towing, and force. So we were just looking to the town to help us out, try to resolve it. You know, I see, the reason I came to you and said I needed no parking signs is because that was the only thing I could think of to resolve it. And that's where we are.
Just a question. You said it's about a mile long, like this Labor Day weekend. How many vehicles are parked there? Did you have to count?
I did not count.
5, 10, 2?
Oh, there are at least, I'd say at least 30.
Oh,
all right. Memorial Day weekend was the worst one. That's when we had major, major issues, but I'm sure we weren't the only ones Memorial Day. So, but it's always a problem. We maintain that property. We mow it. We have sprinkler heads out there. We have at least one sprinkler head broken a week. I talked to the Department of Transportation and explained that piece, and they said, well, if you don't want to maintain it, we will maintain it. Okay, how often will you mow it? Once a month, once every 6 weeks. Yeah, you know, that doesn't do it for us. It makes our place look bad. So we need to, you know, have the grass mowed, obviously.
Did you ask them what they understood towing the horse?
I didn't. I can't. I have a contact, and I've been keeping him up to date on what I've been doing, what you guys are saying. I assume they, by your reaction, I assume they put that sign up, not the town of Curie.
I don't know.
Can I address this with this gentleman?
Yes.
Sir. The parking signs are, in fact, not by DOT as far as I know. No parking in the bike lane means exactly just that, no parking in the bike lane. But it does not preclude someone from parking in the bike lane that is adjacent to the bike lane. And that's their illogical moment. The bike lane is open to the public. It can be parked there. It's not illegal. They understand your situation. The same situation we have in other places in Curie Beach, not just Ocean Dunes. So I think if we're going to crack this one open, then we need to take a better look at the whole 421 corridor as opposed to just one place, because there are the same similar issues in other places. So it does involve the right, to my knowledge, me or a state trooper. We don't have any authority to tow or mess with that vehicle that's properly parked in a state right, unless it is so marked. That's my understanding.
Chief, is it the same situation, single-family residents on Fort Fisher, somebody could park on their front lawn right away?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, if you take a look at every place in Curie Beach, you can look at Curie Beach Village, Sea Watch, you can look at Curie Village Way, the main corridor in Curie Beach Village. The town does have a right-of-way, and where people can park, it's never been clear. If you look at our right-of-way, say on 3rd, 4th Street, the right-of-ways are fairly deep in places, but yet people have their ornaments or yards manicured, farm beds, and all that kind of thing right up to the right-of-way. And I'm not trying to open a can of worms, but I'm just saying that it is a can of worms. And I think I do understand your issue, and I want to help you, but I think it's something that before we just put up a sign or take a knee-jerk reaction to you that I think requires a little bit of looking into. John Batson's here, I'm glad he is, because I think he's been through some of this as well. And he and I have chatted about these issues numerous times. And ultimately, it will be up to town council, I suppose, to decide what we're going to do. But I think it'd be a good time this winter to take a good look at it and do some digging and talk to some people about it, get a better idea of how much we're going to be dealing with, so that we can kind of do a good fix, a long-term fix. That's That's just my opinion, and as your chief, and I have a gentleman sitting here that has a concern on the north side. It's a very similar concern.
Chief, I assume by the right-of-way, you mean the grassy area on the other side of the site?
The right-of-way is the property that North Carolina owns from the center line in the road up to your property line, or whoever's property line.
Okay.
So the right-of-way is the difference between the pavement and your property line.
So, just, and again, I'm not trying to be argumentative, I'm just trying to understand it. So the bike lane is in that right-of-way, but on the ocean side further towards our fence, that grassy area is what you're referring to?
I don't know how far the right-of-way is on the southbound or the left-hand side, John, you may know.
Along, along Fort Fisher Boulevard, that's a 90-foot right-of-way. So hypothetically, the road is in the center of that right-of-way.
Okay.
Not always the case.
Yeah, I would imagine it would go right to your fence.
Probably, yeah.
It goes all the way to your fence in that particular area.
Okay.
It is as a rental, and I understand. Like I said, there's something that we probably do, and I've seen it other places.
I've had several people tell me other areas, just like what you're talking about.
It's something I guess we could look at, and I guess up to P&Z, I'm sure, and the powers that be, but before we did something just quickly, I would suggest that we take a little bit of a look at all of it and come up with a good solution.
But my one question, though, is if there are two signs there now and it says towing and force, I suppose that's the same question you are having. What does that mean?
If they are parked on the bike lane, we generally give them a citation first. If it becomes an issue, then yes, we will tow the vehicle. The citations are pretty expensive, and we handed those out when we first got our bike lanes.
Okay.
If there's no tire on the pavement, you're not on the bike lane. They can be in the right of way as long as you're not on the bike lane.
Okay.
And that gets to be a real judgment call sometimes as to what's going on there. There are other places in town where we have parking that, let me just share this with P&Z while I'm here. The other issue in addition to the parking, for certain reasons, the other right-of-way parking issue is line of sight. There are places where people will park on the right-of-way, but it rapidly or greatly diminishes the line of sight to be able to get in and out of a side street. And that's part of what's got to be folded into this, I think, when we take a look at all this. I snooped a little just today and noticed on Charlie Allo's committee, or not, I guess it's an ad hoc committee, that was an issue that they've got listed as a priority on their thing. So there are other people looking at the same thing. And that's why this gentleman from up in Hamby area is here tonight. It's just got to do with line of sight. Cars in the right of way, but in line of sight. And as the police chief, we could probably help that some. There is an ordinance on the books, if I interpret it correctly, prohibits parking within 30 feet of the intersection. So that's something that we'll have to look at, is either signing out or ripping off. And again, I need to make sure the town attorney I'm correct in my interpretation. So there's several little issues in this. If you look at some of the parking on 421 South, from K Avenue down to E Avenue, there are parking places that are sitting right beside the driveway. So another one on the other side of the driveway. So if you're trying to back in or back out or get in or get out, it is problematic. So
what is the rule for a private driveway? How close can you park to that?
I do not know how close you can get to a private driveway. On a public street, I think it's 30 feet from the property line. So if you draw an imaginary line, yep, come back 30 feet. But on a private residence, I do not know. They can't block your driveway, obviously. And we've had that. And again, I will say this, just for information only. I was here Memorial Day, and I was here 4th of July and this weekend. And it is Kiri Beach. It's become probably one of the most popular places to day trip or of anywhere around here that I know of. And I have seen the crowds swell. I've been here a long time, and I can tell you this past 4th was probably one of the busiest 4ths I've ever seen, same with Memorial Day weekend. This past weekend was about average for whatever reason, but the other two holidays, it was something else. And so I think that's about all I can add, unless you have something else to fuss at me about or something.
I don't think you fuss at you.
There's a couple places on the 431 that the town has roped off, so that they were being infringed upon. But, you know, we directed so the traffic had to stay off of that.
The other thing I could say to this, and John, correct me if I'm wrong, anybody else in here that might know, but it's been my experience that DOT is going to do what DOT wants to do when it comes to 421. And I don't know how much influence I have or any of us have with that. Is that a fair statement, John? And if DOT does decide to make it no parking in the right of way, then it'll be left up to me to enforce it, which is fine. We'll do that, but I'll need that ordinance codified by council.
Based on what they told me, they're not going to do anything without the town's permission.
Okay. I think it's a bit of a hard problem, and it's something that we probably need to address and look at. I do. We're just busier and busier. There are people here. But I think we, just again, in my humble opinion, we take a good look at the whole situation and get a lot of input on it and see what we can come up with. It's not going to be easy to fix, I can tell you that. So, yes, sir.
Chief, can you explain the difference between when you're down at K Avenue, between K and M, we've got parking places identified on the street.
Mm-hmm.
When you get down past the sidewalks, we don't have parking places identified.
That's right.
I think where the parking places are identified, you and the guys have some degree of jurisdiction, I think.
Oh, yeah, we have jurisdiction city limit, but...
Oh, okay.
But are you talking about as far as where they go? Or?
Yeah, what I was wondering is, can you enforce no parking along 421, or is that really a state trooper responsibility?
No, I'm sure we could. We enforce other issues on 421. We enforce the bike lane, we enforce other things. It's no different than that. Yes, sir.
Chief, I got a question for you. If you can enforce within designated parking spaces on the state right-of-way, what's the controlling factor that decides where those spaces can be designated?
That's a great question. Great question. The control by ordinance is me, by ordinance. But what it has been practically for the last several years is shoreline access to parking.
I mean, do you need encroachment agreements with DOT to carve out a parking space on a state right away?
Never had one that I'm aware of.
In theory, could you put those working with the slap concerns? In theory, could you put those designated parking spots down in the areas that we're concerned about?
I'm not sure I understand your question. If it's right of way, are you trying to say I'm not following you exactly?
I'm a little new to Cary Beach, but when I go down 421, I see, like the commissioner was talking about, designated parking spaces. Mm-hmm. I assume those are in the state right of way.
Yes.
Okay. Down in the dunes area, it's still state right of way down there, correct?
That's correct.
Could you put designated parking spaces down there?
I don't know.
Well, wouldn't that create more of a problem for them?
Yeah.
Because now it's going to deliver a problem.
But I think it's an interesting question because it's, do we have authority over that? Because if we could make parking spaces, could we say these are parking spaces and you have to park properly in them?
Yeah.
And right now.
I don't know, sir. That'd be a good question for the town attorney. I've never been asked that. That's a good point, but I have no idea.
My question is four entrances that we're talking about. That is concerning to Ocean Hills. 1347, there's a parking lot right across the street. So that gets hopefully filled up first, and then they start parallel parking on the grass. And it could be anywhere between 8 cars, 10 cars on each side of the beach access. And then you come down to 1255. That's another entrance down there. That's parking on the grass. Only on the east side, because there's no parking on the west side unless somebody parks on somebody's front lawn. But as a rule, it's only on the east side.
There's simply not room on that side.
No, they can park on
well, except for somebody.
But somebody will probably yell and scream if they're on their grass. 1207, parking on grass. And that's the Air Force side. There's room to park on the Air Force, and this year we've been finding more people parking on the Air Force side and the east side. So they're parking on both sides of the road. And the last one is 1045. That's parking at the Air Force on the west side only. There's a little space there, and they park there. There's no parking available on the east side. So So that's basically, that concerns the ocean dunes, those four spots.
However, Tony, would you agree that the issue, particular issue exists at every public access point?
Well, a lot of, other than those four, there's four more that does not have any kind of sufficient entrance. All the other, I mean, we have 25 in town, 25 entrances. They have, like, say, the ones by Atlantic Avenue. They park, you know, on one side of Atlantic Avenue and walk. But other than that, the other ones are the emergency exit, 460, 630 by you guys, and the one to 1,004 and a half. And the only parking on that, that's our last or our first entrance on Perry Beach. And the only part of that is there's a little grass or dirt area, sandy area, that they park outside of the fence.
Mr. Vice Chair, can I ask a question?
Yes.
And again, it's because I'm new. Do you raise these points about beach access because that's where the parking occurs, and therefore that's where the overflow occurs, and therefore that's where the problem
occurs? I only raise this up because the problem came up with this area,
for those, you know, for
parking, and where there's basically not a lot, say, like Avenue E, there's a lot where people park, and then they park up like I.
So you've got access that people want to go to, but not enough parking there for.
Right, and they're public access where you cannot deny the public to use them.
Right. I understand.
I feel like maybe parking is a symptom. Mr. Woodall has addressed the next, what I would call a problem, and that's the urination, public nudity, and destruction problem.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure, but there may not be a parking problem if these other things weren't happening. All know folks come down here for the weekend and they're not part of our community. I don't care how sophisticated they are, how expensive the car they drive, they don't treat your property like they treat their own back to City X or Y. So I would like to think we, as part of the chief's idea about, and Mr. Allo's has an ad hoc committee looking at parking and safety issues with this community. We can address parking here, but I think a bigger plan, we ought to think about this destruction of property and those types of issues. We have about 10, 11 weeks of putting up with a lot of extra people in our little nice community. From now on, this will be a problem. I don't know what we can do community-wise about the destruction part. I don't know if this would all with anybody in your community now locking their showers. I've got a little latch on mine up here.
We're putting,
not locked.
We're in the process of putting in the combination gates and all of our walkways. So yes, we're trying to address that. The next thing it'll do is break the gate.
It'll be harder for you to use it.
Any other questions or comments?
I had a question. Would I try to sign in to it, Sam? My name is Frances Powlish on Craig's Landing. I agree that the main issue is the lack of parking further south. Like you were saying, there's plenty of or enough parking lots further up, but further down towards Fort Fisher, there aren't so many places to park. And that's the reason people are going into your condo area. That's the reason there's parking on the green area. As a resident of Craig's Landing, I hope that in the big picture solution, the idea isn't get people out of your parking lot. I understand they have to get people off the highway with the right of way, 421, and come park in front of my house. I don't want them pushed off into the side streets, ideally. So we really need to have more parking and not just say, you can't park here, you can't park here either. You can't park in the Ocean Dunes place, and you can't park on the highway 421, so move off into the side streets. I hope that that would not be the decision, but instead find ways of offering parking. But I presume the problem is there isn't probably any state or community-owned property where one could place additional parking places, you know, maybe at the Air Force, I don't know, but I think that's the main issue, that there's probably no other good place to get people to park.
Going down the south end there is just, at those entrances that I said, from about the Air Force base down, there's no space. I wish we had space, believe me.
Does anybody think that just having the Air Force sign there scares people from turning in there and using the parking? There's a lot of places to park.
We found people pulling into the Air Force base, and they had problems with it. I mean, people were coming down from the beach, and the exit's right across the street, there's no parking. They pulled right into the lot. That's when both sides were wide open, and there was parking. Right now, the one side is closed because of building, but that whole area was filled with parking. It was amazing how many cars fit there. And you see now, even on the outside of that fence on Fort Fisher, there's a tremendous amount of more cars. People are coming, like the chief says, people are coming to Curie Beach, and it is what it is. They're coming.
Mr. Mayor, has the commander of the Air Force Station discussed with you at all about parking?
Yeah.
Him having a parking issue?
Yeah. As long as we've got free parking in Curie Beach, they're going to keep coming.
Oh, I know.
Matter of fact, we have some young people that work at Ocean Dunes, and that's exactly what they told me. That all their friends come here because free parking.
We have free everything.
I was wondering how the little combo down below you is making out with their part all across the street. Are they being inundated by people coming down and using it?
The complex just to the south of us.
Regions?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. I think that because there is parking in the park area down there, that they don't have as much of an issue. And I don't believe there's as much of a grassy area there, but I haven't checked that.
Has everybody talked?
I just wanted to briefly, and I know he was, briefly just talk about the north end problem, because we do have a south end. My name is Rich Stomp. I live at 104A Ocean View Avenue, where the sand pit, I think, is what we refer to it as. I know we spoke of, or you spoke of, that the problem's gone the 11-week season. We have a constant problem there, and that is, and not putting down the surfers because I'm one of them, but we have a lot of in and out, people using access at 104.5, right there. What we find there is it's more of a safety issue. It's not so much aesthetic or anything. It's just they park to avoid the sand pit. They park wherever they want, and it's usually right on the corner. And there's a visibility issue that we just can't see coming out of Ocean View. And that's what I was talking with Chief Cooper about, is addressing that specific issue. And that's what I'm here to do, is just look for support from the city to go to DOT, because I do understand how DOT works. And you won't touch the street unless they do give the approval, but I think they will with town council. And of course, your recommendation to council would absolutely help that. But we do have a problem with the overflow from the rental units across the street. That is their overflow parking lot. Cars stay there for 3 or 4 days. I think what they're doing is they're avoiding Carolina Beach, like we talked about. They're just moving one access down. I've noticed in the 2 years I've been there that it's gotten worse this year. And I understand also somebody brought this up. It's going to push people onto the side streets. So we'll have to deal with that. But I think we should deal with that after. You know,
that's what I'm here to address. It's already there.
So real quick, I think I've got most. I think we've hit it all, and I don't want to keep harping on. I think y'all are now aware of the problem. So that's it. I just wanted to express my concern on 104.5.
Can I mention a problem? I just wanted to answer this more.
Did you mean to make a comment on parking?
Yeah, I signed it. So I'm Ryan Bradshaw, 125 Heather Lane, and like Al. I can go over the same stories. I live in Curie Estates, which is the same street as Curie Village. And I can assure you, your nightmare is our reality. They are already parking up. they're already parking up Curie Village Way, and then a few people rent homes on Heather Lane and Clementry Lane. Those people have a lot of friends over. They start parking in the street on the asphalt, and beachgoers, they get pushed out of Carolina Beach, can't park at the sand pit, end up coming up Curie Village Way. There's 40 cars up and down the street parked this way, not parallel, it's perpendicular parking. They start going down and they say, oh, look at this cute little cul-de-sac. There's already cars parked there. And they're shooting down and parking in empty lots. And it's there, and it's going to get worse. And I think that I'm asking council to, and planning and zoning to address and really define what kind of parking is allowed, not only on 421, but on privately owned streets that are owned by the city. Apparently, Curie Village Way is not a state right-of-way. So there's probably no other jurisdiction for that street than ourselves. So I just want that issue not to be overlooked. It is a safety issue because we got the crosswalks that were granted to us, or whatever, when we decided to put these crosswalks all the way down Fort Fisher Boulevard. All the parking interferes with the natural flow of pedestrian traffic. So people, Curie Village is full of children. So people are walking their young children, dragging their surfboards and bikes and everything to the beach. And they're being forced to walk on the asphalt rather than in the right-of-way, which lines up with the crosswalk. So it is a safety issue having loads of cars parked along a residential street. Line of sight, blocking driveways, it's all happening. So luckily it is just the holiday weekends, but it's a start, and I think that this is part of the whole puzzle. I think it's maybe having some real parking and ordinances. I don't know if towns do that, but
yeah, let me address that real quick. You're exactly right in everything you said, but here's the issue. Your police department tries to use a tremendous amount of common sense and discretion. I can't differentiate between your friends mm-hmm. that are on the street and a tourist yeah. that came from Virgo.
I agree.
So it's all or nothing.
I agree.
And we try to really use some good judgment, particularly around holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas. There's always a few cars on the street at this house or that house. It's family. It's what it is. And we try to accommodate you on that. And you're right about everything you said in the issue over there. It is huge. But we have no way of knowing without just running every app. We can't.
Well, I don't think it's fair because we receive tons of federal money for our beaches, because we're accessible. I don't think it's fair to say.
Where do we get tons of federal
money? Well, we get some federal money because we're accessible. We're a beach that's accessible to other people than our own community. So I don't want to. I'm not saying everyone else should stay out of our town.
You have to understand the chief where he's coming
from. I do.
There are so many people that live in your community that your parking lots are very small now. And most of the people that are coming in parallelly and
perpendicular
yeah. and they're your people in that development that are coming.
I don't differentiate. I just differentiate on the action, right. Not the person.
But, you know, if the cops come and start giving tickets, mm-hmm. they're going to give the roll of tickets.
That'd be great.
Joe, if I could express an opinion to the board, we were together as in the town council some weeks ago. We determined that we would like planning and zoning board to drive this solution with attorney Mr. Eldridge. We would like to get the stakeholders together. Stakeholders being the police chief, obviously, probably SLAP, DOT, and if there's any neighborhood representatives, because I believe there really are two issues. First is, how do we control parking on 421, or don't we? Or if we do, what do we do? And whatever we do there, the second part of that issue is, how do we ensure you just don't push the problem into the neighborhoods, which would just be an extra issue for everybody to deal with. So this is not an easy problem, but there may be solutions, and I think my recommendation is that you would ask Jim to jump into this.
If I could comment?
Yes, please.
A couple of things, random, but they'll all come together at the end. I also surf, and I always surf in Wrightsville Beach. And I don't know the Powellville map. I don't know which streets in town are public or private. But in Wrightsville Beach, it's just covered with those meters. And if I don't park in the meter, I'm going to get serious economic problems. And it seems, I'm just offering that subjectively. What we're hearing tonight presents a myriad of problems. Some can be fixed short-term, some need to be looked at long-term. But I just offer for your all suggestion that when I go to Wrightsville Beach, I have to go into a metered spot, which is everywhere, or I've got problems. So that's one thing to consider. The second thing that I would say is the collateral issues about trespassing, indecent display, what urinating in public. I'm sure there are laws and ordinances on the book. If the citizen complains about that, they can be enforced. I don't think they need to be looked at as part of this solution. I agree with Commissioner Blazinski. I think if you had a meeting of the stakeholders, you could begin to frame out how you're going to approach this problem. If you weren't going to have metered spaces, for example, but you had designated spaces, and we don't know really how those come to be. Perhaps it's an encroachment agreement of DOT or otherwise. But if you had designated spaces, then you could enforce parking down there if they're not in those spaces. Another approach, although more complicated, would be some sort of an overlay. You still have some jurisdictional issues to look at. So it is a big problem. There may be some acute issues that you could look at to address in the short term, i.e. designated parking spaces. There may be a long-term global solution if the politics allowed for it, as in Wrightsville Beach. But I do think you need to start somewhere. I was hired with the understanding that I would supplement the town attorney, that I would be your all's resource. This has been kicked to you all. If you so instruct me, I'll be glad to begin the process and work with the chief and just take it as it comes and try to come back with some recommendations for you to consider an action plan.
Jim, I'm curious, when you go to Wrightsville Beach, do you see the same beautiful grassy areas that are inviting like ours, and do you see people parking in those areas?
No, because if they park in those areas, they're going to get scalped. I mean, there's a little spot that I go surfing at, and there's a condo unit that fronts that side street. And that side street is just a normal side street, dead ends at the end on the ocean. And on both sides, it's just there's enough room to have parking spaces from top to bottom on both sides and a normal subdivision width street in between. On one side, you got the surf club, which has got a little grassy margin before you get to the fence. On the other side, you have this beautiful manicured condo lot, and nobody ever parks on that. They just park in those spaces that are adjacent to those property lines from top to bottom. And if they don't park there, they're either going to get towed or get a huge ticket. And so I think those meters, now you got public considerations and long-term planning, and I don't know what's involved with that. But those meters, in my experience, in that town, keep people in the designated spaces because the hassle and cost involved of not complying is too significant.
Now, Wrightsville Beach also has a contractor, full-time right. Enforcement.
That's why I say there's lots of policy, political, and economic issues.
So they have a law against parking in right-of-ways unless there's a meter?
I can't answer that question. I just know that wherever I go, there's a metered space, and if I don't park in that metered space, I've got a world of hurt.
Yeah.
That may just be the practice. When people go there, they don't park in the grass. Over time, it's become a practice.
I mean, anywhere you go, and I've got to think that some of the roads are private, but no matter where you go, those meters are always there. Now, I'm not saying that's the solution. That's a major policy consideration that the council would have to weigh carefully for all sorts of people. There may be some short-term fixes for the dunes, i.e. the designated parking spaces. Maybe you could do a pilot program. There are lots of ways. We can skin the cat. But there's lots of issues, and I think the ones that are the most pronounced are, and perhaps ought to be tackled with first, are the problems down the south end with the dunes that we've heard, the line of sight problems. I think those can be, if we can take this in pieces, those are probably the short-term problems that we probably could get a handle on, one way or another. I do think it's necessary for the chief, council being me, perhaps a liaison from the board, and some other stakeholders. I do think if we could get a meeting of DOT, we could get some initial questions answered. We could start hammering out an approach that works for the north end and the south end. If the chief, do you tend to agree with that, chief?
I think in a very general sense, the whole issue of parking is time.
Yes.
This baby's getting ready to come out, and it's time.
Yeah.
Now, the solutions to everything, I don't know. I do like I think it is appropriate to look at one thing at a time and maybe take the smaller things first and just try to knock some of those out. I think our building inspector, John, I think you need to be in on this as well, with some right-of-way encroachments and that kind of thing. I'm not sure what the solution is going to be. I think the more feedback we get, the more ideas we get, the better off we're going to be. I'm not going to sit here and tell you how to deal with it. I do not. I can deal with the enforcement side, obviously, but I'm going to have to know what to enforce.
I didn't mean I wanted you to write
something. I guess I didn't.
Because people are allowed to legally park there.
I'm not so familiar with Wrightsville as with Curry, but to your Mr. Eldridge, I think that your suggestion with the parking meters, maybe Wrightsville is maybe structured differently and doesn't have so much residential. You know, my main concern is if Curry were to have designated places and have that always be a metered place, that's going to automatically push people off into the side streets.
It would
make matters worse for many of the residents of Curry Beach.
I agree.
And that's surely not what the town council wants.
We may
to
have
achieve.
Unintended consequences by solving one issue. We're going to have
And I wasn't making that recommendation. I was just pointing out something.
Mr. Attorney, but just so you knew, but SLAP did 3 parking studies or 4 parking studies already in the town of Curry Beach. Every time we bring it up to council, it gets knocked out.
That's a sensitive issue.
Parking. That's a sensitive issue. Plain, ordinary parking. And as a chairman of SLAP, we're not going to do another study unless we have a commitment from at least 4 commissioners. Because it's a lot of work for us as a committee to get the people go through town and try to get all the ins and outs that's best for the town. And then when we bring it up, and like the chief says, it's coming, the baby's coming, it's about time. And we have to see what council would like. If they would like us to do paid parking, they just have to ask us again, and we'd be more than happy to go ahead with it. If we have at least 4 of them that say that they would back it.
I appreciate those comments, but I think we frame the preliminary problem, just have to decide on the first.
What's a parking ticket going for in Wrightsville now?
I'm sorry, sir?
What's a parking ticket going for in Wrightsville now?
I don't know, but the one winter I parked on the side street in the wrong direction because there wasn't anybody there. I ended up in a handicapped spot and got a $250 ticket. but I successfully appealed it.
Nice guy enough.
Just as a note, our parking citations here are $50. That's our standard average parking ticket is $50. And we just got a brand new case of ticket books. So. I'm proud of it again. I think it's very important. our small town character.
Yeah.
And not try to be so deliberate about everything, try to do some judgment, common sense. I don't want to lose that. I think everybody would.
Yes.
And it may be that designated spaces on the south end is a common sense approach for a short-term fix. But we just have to explore and see.
Well, we're going to have to. I mean, I took a lot of notes. We'll discuss it. As the P&Z, we'll deal with our commissioner here for representing the county council. Mr. Allo's group is working, parking as part of the safety issue. There's a lot of things going on in this arena.
I know it's been right here.
I guess I'd like to say to those concerned citizens, thank you for your input. We'll keep working. And I'm going to say that there will be another open forum advertised, almost like a town hall or parking lot.
Do we need to do a motion on a meeting, too?
Yeah, make a motion for further discussion and research, or getting a meeting together with some of the stockholders to further, you know, discuss the situation.
And local business owners?
Well, I'd like to make a suggestion. I think we should, we want to make a motion, I think we should have a joint work session with SLAP. They've done all the research. They've done paid parking studies. They've done all the things. They can bring all that to us, and we can all get together, have a meeting with them, and then maybe the next meeting, if we come up with something, the next meeting, we'll have, you know, maybe we invite the chief of police to come and review and kind of narrow everything down before we start having more public forums and public meetings. I think we should come up with a game plan first, run by our attorney, make sure that we're on the right page, and that would be my approach to
it. Without town council backing paid parking, and as much as you want to know, I don't know if it would do.
Well, that's already been.
But that's just one topic. We'll go down there. We'll try to address everything, meeting with y'all.
The town council's given us the task to deal with this. So.
If anything you want me to research in the meantime, please let me know in your motion.
Well, I don't know how, well, in the past, my experience was that we kind of tossed all the ideas around. We had our public workshops, we'd done all those things, and then we had a game plan, and then we ran it by our attorney. And I think that was because of the budget concerns.
Well, for example, you might want to know as you kick things around, you know, how the designated parking spaces work. And that's the way I do my job is I'm a resource and I can input into for you all to consider and act on. So it's one thing to come up with something and run it by me. It's another thing for me to say, well, yeah, you do have this jurisdiction, give it to you, and then you all decide what to do with it. It doesn't matter to me. I work at your pleasure.
Getting more parking somehow would be another way to solve the problem rather than charging people for parking who want to come visit Crabby.
Well, that's going to be all about discussion. That's going to be part of our discussion before we come up with.
Yeah, I think.
Is the motion to meet with SLAP?
I think the first meeting should be, we should have, maybe I think it's our next meeting, or even if it's just the chairman of SLAP that can come. Yeah. If we can, you know, get the information.
I think you can put all the parking spikes as you want in, those will fill up, and then people will be parking on side streets. I just think I think it's integrated.
Truthfully, I think we just need to manage it. Doesn't necessarily mean it has to be paid, but it does have to be managed. And what are the rules of management that we offer the chief so that he can execute accordingly to the rules of management? He can be firm and treat everyone equal. Right now, we don't have a set of rules that protects some of these properties, so we don't have a way to work with DOT at this point. We're not working with them to protect the properties. Our HOA president is working with DOT. So, I think, Alan, you have a great idea, right? The team should get together. I think you might want to include a couple of stakeholders in that, and certainly, let's make him busy. Let's make attorney Eldridge busy. If you have ideas.
And I'm just talking about preliminary stuff that we're working on, because this is going to happen. And to Ryan's point, the chief was right. It's not just 421. If we address 421, we have to address the whole town, because the next meeting is going to be everybody that lives on 3rd Street, 4th Street, everywhere else with the right of way. They're going to be sitting there saying, I want signs in front of my house. So we can't just pick and choose.
No.
It's got to be for everybody.
I think we should put enough rigor in this to make sure that we have at least a plan as we approach next season. It gives us a few months to bang it around, and maybe, you can have hearings on it later on. But just my thoughts, you guys are the commission. I mean, our board.
Are there perhaps lots that people would be willing to use as parking spaces just for those high holiday weekends or something like that? That one for those holiday weekends they could offer?
That's another issue that happens on the weekends. Now people aren't putting up signs $5 for parking.
That's right.
And they're not going to want it on holiday weekends. So, is that a problem? I don't think so. Some people have concerns about it.
Those lots are a problem to the houses next to them.
Why don't we just put this topic on the agenda for next month? Let's ask Tony to attend that meeting. Let's identify our objectives and move forward. Right now, we're just kind of going around.
Yeah, any other comments? I'm going to close the public comments.
Well, it's a good problem to have when everybody wants to come here.
So. Yeah. Good idea.
Okay, motion.
So I'll make a motion that we put the parking issue on the October agenda, and invite the chairman to slap for a meeting for whatever information is right now. And of course, it's a public meeting, it's open to the public, so the public can say it.
Second that.
Next topic.
I have a question.
Yes.
The form will be like this, the five of you sitting up there, and you want me to address you, or is that what you think is on the water? And that's going to be, you're going to change your date also.
Yeah.
You're changing your date to the first Wednesday of the month. Is that going to be effective in October?
We didn't vote on that yet.
Yeah, that's the last thing.
That's on our agenda.
You'll get an email about it. It'll be very well done.
Okay, I just thought, I wanted to make sure I'm available.
Any public comments about the proposed site plan for CBU?
I don't know where the developers are, but I can give you a good brief rundown if y'all.
Okay.
Property's located at 637 Multiple Fisher Boulevard. It is the problem child that Ryan was just talking about on Curry Village Way. Property is it's about 2 acres. House previously went through Planning and Zoning Commission late 2005, early 2006. It received approval for the subdivision, which consisted of 19 single-family houses, but it never came to fruition. Since then, the property has been sitting there. The bank has owned it. The new developers are reigniting the previous development to be very similar to what was approved before. The site plan's a little different, but they're still looking at 19 single-family dwellings.
Like condos, townhomes?
Townhomes. You should have a site plan in your packet there. They are very aware of the process. I've met with them at length. I'm expecting a preliminary plat to be delivered to my office within the next 2 weeks. Preparation for the October meeting. They are required to present that preliminary plat at least 15 business days before the next scheduled PNZ meeting. I'm not sure who or if y'all have looked into Chapter 15, our subdivision ordinance, and looked at the approval process and how it works, but it's fairly simple and straightforward. As long as they've got all the information that's required on their site plans, the meeting should be fairly smooth and uneventful.
we have 45 days, correct?
Yeah, 45 days to make an approval or disapproval and send that recommendation to town council. Town council then does their approval or disapproval, and you move forward to the next step, which would be the final plat. Along with the final plat, for the subdivision, they'd have to have the state stormwater permit in hand. They're going to have a CAMA major permit in hand. They'll have to provide proof of financing so we don't get halfway through the project and then it's a standstill. And that's pretty much it. Y'all have any questions?
Yeah, just look at the site plan. The property 8 through 13, are those single family? Or are they stacked?
They're townhouses connected.
Well, this is three of them. Is that three of them?
Single family attached, yes.
John, is there egress there at the back of the property for the dump truck? Is that what that is?
We're looking
at the back here.
To no, that's not egress. Sorry.
Not along this side here?
So oh, there, yes.
Yeah.
You have entrance and egress off of Curry Village Road.
Okay, off of Curry Village in the back. Then all these are, I guess where you have these fence components, those would be in the front of the home. So some of them are facing internally and some of them are facing externally.
Right.
Oh, that's driveway. Yeah. Okay. That's right. So those are the driveways. Got it.
I actually like the way it's set up better than the previously approved plan.
Yeah, the parking plan.
The parking was a little weird from the previous plan.
I did like the aesthetics of that last plan.
I did too, but I think this one flows better, and I think it kind of...
I do like the dumpster place on this one. It's a little better than the last one.
It is a little better, yes.
Do you know what they're doing with stormwater?
They have a state stormwater permit from the previous project that they've been told so they can transfer into their name.
Now, with this organization, all these certificates, it's just approved, then they sell the separate lots to a builder?
No, there'll be buildings and
organization.
They're doing it all. Yes, sir.
They're building it, and then they just sell the house.
That's correct. Yes, sir. A little surprised, to be honest with you.
What is that driving right away? Is that 18 feet?
Do what, sir?
Is it 18 feet that?
All the driveways are 18 feet wide, yes, sir.
No, I mean the roadway.
The roadway says 18 feet, yes, sir.
I don't have any classes. Mine was too early. I got one.
So, no plan for street parking, right?
There is no street parking.
Okay. So nobody would be parking back in those neighborhoods.
That's above the street and looking at the water. I'm really going
to stay up and have a beer.
No, it's two service vehicles.
No, I believe what I'm saying is there is no right-of-way area for them to pull off on. The street's going to be 18 feet wide. So.
Okay.
And then there's driveways everywhere.
Is that Curry Beach Village?
That is the corner of Curry Beach Village Way and Fort Fisher Boulevard, yes, sir.
Curry Beach Village has a homeowner's association?
Yes, sir, it does.
And they control that parking lot on the beach side, right?
That parking lot on the beach side, yes, sir.
Do you know whether or not Curry Beach Village thinks these people want to join their...
I do not know yet. The developers asked me about that, and I told him if I were in his shoes, I'd be approaching Curry Beach Village Homeowner Association asking for some sort of rights to help sell these properties.
Any questions or comments? Can we move on to all business? Rental certificates?
I'd like to make a motion because Craig's been the driving force on rental certificates. We just table that at the October meeting.
Okay. Second.
And accessory dwelling units.
All in favor?
Sorry. please put it in the motion to vote on that. All opposed? We're all in four favor, sorry.
Aye.
All opposed? Accessory dwelling units. We should table this also. Another one, Craig's.
Can I speak to that real quick?
Yeah.
Well, sir, I'm not sure. We had talked about that the other day, didn't we?
No, sir.
I'm not sure why it even came up or why Craig brought it up, but his concern was with allowing or not allowing mother-in-law suites on properties. I see it as a non-issue. He said that the state of California has laws that prohibit municipalities from prohibiting accessory dwelling units. I did a little research in North Carolina, and I can't find anything in general statutes that says that you can't tell someone they can't have a mother-in-law suite in their backyard. I've used ordinances to allow this in several different ways and instances. Most of the time it's a small garage type deal and they try to add on or finish it off. And I allow them to put some sort of unit like that as long as there's not a full kitchen in it and it is connected to the house by means of a common roof line, breezeway type deal. So, like I said, I don't know why. Still, I'm not real clear why it ever came up, but I just wanted to kind of give you, if you have a chance to look into the general statutes, see something that I haven't seen.
Thank you, Mr. Benson. I'm not aware of any prohibition, but I'll double check. And I've looked at a lot of zoning ordinances and have helped written them, and usually you do see an accessory dwelling unit provision allowed for that, along the lines that you just described. So we can hear the chairman's comments, but I tend to agree with you. I'm not aware of the prohibition, and I see it all the time. But I will be glad to take a seat with that.
Gentlemen,
they have to have the landscaper on when they're on both sides.